You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. They will steer you straight with a 39.95 wheel alignment. Check it out at lakewoodchev.com.
Paul, you watched that game. You watched the first game. And I know the Raptors were down 2-0 last year, came back and won 2 straight against Cleveland. But, man, right now, and I know the injury to Lowry probably makes it even worse, but why were the Raptors getting so dominated on the boards yesterday?
I just don't think they were ready to play, Jason. It's amazing to say that in the playoffs, but they really have struggled with the starts of games. And this is a very, very frustrating team, because I think we constantly are asking the same questions year after year, series after series, of when are the Raptors going to show up? And they have an uncanny ability to turn things around, as they did against Milwaukee, but Cleveland's a whole different animal. They weren't going after the boards. They have not looked even close to being in either game in the first two against the Cavs.
Paul, sir, let me ask you this. Is it coaching then, or is it the leadership group? I mean, someone's got to take responsibility for these slow starts.
To me, this is great, guys, because I feel safe saying Jason, no matter who's talking. But to me, a lot of the heat has to go on Casey. And I'll give you a couple of examples why. They're not coming out ready. They're not coming out tough. I mean, you're paying DeRozan over $100 million to get these kind of performances. Last night was as bad as ever for DeRozan, and these are becoming far too frequent, where he has not just subpar performances for a star. Like, to me, a subpar performance for a star would be you're surprised that Kawhi Leonard got 21 in the first game against Houston when the Spurs were blown out. But with DeRozan, we're being asked to accept that he hasn't found his rhythm yet, and he's getting 5 points, you know, and not making a basket until the fourth quarter. That's just unacceptable. Where I think Casey has to take responsibility is the way the Raptors they have not adjusted offensively. DeRozan is not an overly skilled player in certain areas. He's extremely good in the open court and getting to the basket. So what does Cleveland do? They take the attack lanes away from him. Screen and rolls, they double him immediately, so he has to get the ball out of his hands. And I know in basketball, there's a lot of ways to enter the ball into your offense where you go away from your primary scorer to initiate the offense, run your scorer off screens so he catches the ball with his defender having to chase him or to adjust. And the Raptors just aren't doing that. So you've got basically what DeRozan doing well, he's unable to even execute. So I really put that on coaching. I just don't think that this team is well prepared. And then defensively, and I'll use the example of the Utah Jazz in game one against the equally good shooting team in Golden State compared to Cleveland. The Jazz were crowding their shooters all night, which tells me they don't have any more physical ability than the Raptors, but they have certainly a better defensive scheme and their guys are working harder. So I do put a lot of this on the coaches. This is just not acceptable for a team with the payroll it has and the kind of athletes that they have.
Paul Sir joins us. Paul, what do you make of the Houston Rockets, the Spurs? Like Kawhi Leonard in game two was off the charts, but man, the Spurs got crushed in game one. Can the Rockets win that series?
I think they can win it, but I think the Spurs win it too. I remember talking with folks after game one and people saying, well, Houston's just better. They've had more weapons. But I said, Popovich is he's a great coach. He's going to make changes. He's going to change the way he guards people and the way they run the defenders at their shooters, and they did, and also the way they attacked the basket. I thought last night was a perfect example of why I believe that Kawhi Leonard's the best player in basketball, because, I mean, he averaged 29.7 points per game during the regular season, but as great as that is, he's equally great on defense. Like, he really bothered Harden. Like, I think we got a snapshot into what a great defender Kawhi was, because Harden was 3-for-17, and again, rushing his shot. So, yeah, I think Houston can win, because they do have more weapons than San Antonio, but I just believe that even with Tony Parker going down, I wouldn't count the Spurs out yet.
Who was it that said that Kawhi Leonard was going to be a star? Was it Tim Duncan a few years ago that said that?
Yeah, I did. And And when you look at what San Antonio did to get him, what they recognized in him in terms of his character is really quite remarkable, because whenever they bring the graphic up of where he started with his scoring, I think like in his rookie year, he was at 6 points, and then it was like 12 and 14. To go from 6 points as a rookie to 30 points in your sixth season is ridiculous, especially for a guy who, when he came out of San Diego State, couldn't shoot at all and had zero confidence in his ability to shoot. And the hard work and time he's put in, and I remember one of the announcers saying, when everybody else is in Bermuda in the off season, Leonard's on the court working on his game, and you can see the result of that. So Duncan was right on the mark. He's just a special player.
Well, it's got to be something to that organization, the fact that how they just go from superstar to superstar. Yeah. David Robinson, then he hands it off to Tim Duncan, and you know, you got Ginobili and Parker there, and oh, now here's this Kawhi Leonard player who comes out, and no one was talking about this guy many years ago as being this elite of a superstar, but here he is, and many people consider him maybe, you know, top five player, top three player in the game.
Absolutely. You look at a guy like I know his family, Adam Morrison, who played at Gonzaga, who led the nation in scoring close to 30 points a game his last season in the NCAA, and then was an absolute bomb in the NBA. And Kawhi Leonard quietly comes out of San Diego State, gets drafted by Indiana, and Popovich gives up one of his favorite players of all time in George Hill to get Kawhi because of what they saw in him. But to recognize this potential and then to see that potential fulfilled, that just doesn't happen very often. So tribute, as you say, Jason, to the ability of the Spurs organization to recognize not just great physical ability, but the intangibles in him that fit into the model that the Spurs have.
Looking at tonight, the Celtics are up 2-0 on the Wizards. Is it, everyone's building this up, Isaiah Thomas versus John Wall. Do you see another matchup in there that can kind of get Wizards back off the schneid here?
Well, I think Markieff Morris, you know, offers some firepower for Washington. Porter is a capable scoring, but Bradley Beal, he to me is the X factor in this, because he is a great shooter, but something hasn't clicked yet in his ability to be a great shooter at the times they need him to be in the pressure situation. So maybe with them returning home, he's going to find that rhythm, because I think he can be the difference maker. Wall is impressive. Isaiah Thomas, they say he's 5'9", but everybody I've talked to that knows him say he's 5'7". He's unbelievable, and we're all very well aware of the personal tragedy in his life, but his ability to channel and focus, and that 53-point performance the other night, I mean, you talk about not just gutsy, but skill-based performance. The guy is just unbelievable.
And quickly, the Golden State Warriors have looked fairly smooth so far in this playoffs. Do you see is Cleveland the best chance to knock them off? Is it the Spurs? Does anybody, or I guess who has the best chance in your eyes to knock them off?
In my eyes, it's Cleveland. I think it'd be an even more fascinating series this year, Jason, than last, because the way Cleveland scores now, which is Golden State-like with their willingness to shoot the three and looking to shoot the three, but I also believe the Warriors present tremendous matchup problems for the Cavs. I just have a hard time envisioning the Spurs being able to stop the extremely high level skills and shooting ability that the Warriors bring. I just don't see it in the West. But the Cavs, the Cavs Warriors. Right now, if I had to pick, I'd say it would be the Warriors in six. But LeBron James, right now he's toying with everybody, so who knows how good he could be? I mean, to see a guy diss Coach KC, go over and grab somebody's beer on the sideline after a play. I mean, he's playing like he's down at a YMCA on a Friday afternoon. He's the returning pro against a bunch of the local guys that are trying to keep up with him. But we'll see if the Raptors have something to say about that in the next. But right now, I would say the Cavs would have the best shot.
Paul, we're going to have to ask you to educate my wingman here, Jason Greger. And he was not familiar with the nickname Larry Legend. The great Larry Bird. So maybe I understand you're a pretty big fan of the Birdman. So how did you get that nickname?
I think it was just because the guy's aura, not just as a player, but because of who he was as a person. I mean, the preeminent, consummate trash talker. The stories of Bird and what he would say to people.
Really?
I'm going to come down, I'm going to go to this spot, and I'm going to hit this in your face. He'd go down, get to that spot, hit it in the face, and said, wasn't that sweet? And he would just, he was the worst at trash talking. Walking into the locker room before the first three-point shooting competition, and everybody that's in the contest is sitting in there, and he walks in and said, well, okay, so which of you guys are going to finish second today? The guy, he was legendary as a player, and nobody competed harder than Bird. I mean, I remember the game against the Pacers where he fractured his cheekbone in the third quarter and then led a huge comeback for the rest of the game and wouldn't come out. Of course, that wouldn't happen today, but Larry Legend earned that nickname because of his skill and his ability to get in his competitor's head.
That's pretty good chirping. I love it. I love it. Paul, as always, appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Enjoy the games.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.